All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at Burrow.com/ACAST. That's Burrow.com/ACAST. Burrow.com/ACAST.
You're listening to Nasty Knuckles, the Hockey Outlaws podcast, with your host, Derek Nasty Suttermeyer, and former Philadelphia Flyer enforcer Riley Cote, as they go behind the scenes with your favorite NHL players. Time to face off.
All right, welcome back to Nasty Knuckles. What is happening, Nasty?
What's up, Riggs? Before we get started here on this little special edition, I want to show you something you've never... I don't know if you've ever seen it. It's your men's league jersey.
I haven't seen the away jersey in a while.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Where's it been hiding?
Yeah, it's been hiding with you. We did win, though. Heading to the finals, just wanted to put that out there. But the boys wanted to make sure you knew about your jersey.
I know what the jersey. I know. Right. I'll be making the next game, Nass. Don't
you
be
worrying.
Oh,
I guess the finals. You want to be there with all the media and stuff there. Like, I get it.
Every team needs a hero, right?
That's right. That's right. We need you.
I'll be there. Don't you worry, man. I have to rest up.
Yeah.
Regenerate.
I know
it's
you
a
did.
Long weekend here
I
for
know.
Me.
I know. I hear you.
But what else is going on in your world, Nass?
Not much, man. Just hanging out with you and Debo and Baller. That's about it. Went to the Flyboys last night. Got to see Jake Voracek after the game for a little bit. Talked to him. Missed that guy, man. What a guy.
What a character.
Jeez, he's so funny. But, that's about it, man.
Yeah. We're talking about some Flyer stuff. We wanted to touch on a few things. And, one being the Yandle situation the other day.
Yeah.
Thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are you signed him knowing about his streak. You're 50 points out of a playoff spot. I mean, I'm being facetious, but we're out of a shot. Obviously not going to make the playoffs. Like, let the guy play. Let him get to 1,000, even though it's going to get broken, probably by Phil, the Thrill.
Yep.
I just think out of respect. The guy's played a long time in the league. Not having a great year, who is?
Yeah.
To me, you let him play. That's just my opinion. I had a few players that used to play here actually message me and be like, what are they doing?
Yeah.
Like, why would they do that to him? And, we're not in there. We don't know exactly what's going on, but hey, he's back in the lineup last night.
Yeah,
exactly. Let the guy play. Like, he's a great guy, great locker room guy. The players love him. If you're in a playoff position and you're pushing, he probably wouldn't have been in the lineup anyway before now.
Right.
because, you know, he hasn't played as well as he could. But anyway, that's my take on
it. No, I feel the same way. I think it's a respect thing at this point. 11 games away from 1,000. To play 1,000 consecutive games is insane. It's will it get broken? Probably. But I think that's besides the point.
Right.
Again, based on the Flyers' situation, there's nothing urgent about scratching him. I understand towards the end of the season, you get younger guys to, you know, play more minutes and you squeeze guys in. But I think in that unique situation, like 11 games, then maybe do if you feel like you have to. But
right.
Like, what's the urgency, you know, to play Nick Seeler over Yandel?
Right.
I mean, what's the urgency there? I'm not sure if I see it.
I don't know.
But I have also been in teams, you know, playing and coaching where that's what happens. You know, you shake things up and you.
Yeah.
But again, that's a unique situation. So close to 1,000.
He's going to be the first guy to ever do it.
Yeah.
Like, let him get that.
Yeah.
To
so,
me. I mean.
But, you know. That being said, it is a business. He personally, I mean, just like most of the guys on the team, haven't had exactly a breakout season.
Yeah.
So you can argue it's business, and you know we're just going to play some younger guys to get a sense of what they can bring for next year. Tough situation. But you know, when I saw the conversation around that, I was like, God, I mean, like 989 games.
He'd like, be the another? First to do it, yeah. Right? Like. Let him have that, even though, like you said, he's going to get passed probably by Phil, but still amazing.
But an interesting situation. But, you know, he's back in the lineup last night, like you said, and I'm starting from game one.
Yeah,
you know,
he's starting a new streak.
New streak. One's a streak.
Yeah.
Moving on, Maroon and Simmer the other day
in Tampa,
you know, a verbal battle going back and forth on the ice. Then it led to the benches, and then Maroon going back and forth with Simmer on the bench, and then eventually getting 10-minute misconducts each.
It's embarrassing.
It's embarrassing.
Like, you're taking all the emotion out of the game.
Yeah.
And that's what makes hockey such a great game. We all know it's not like it used to be. Why can't these guys talk shit back and forth? Who cares? It doesn't matter. They're trying to pick their teams up. They're trying to, like, you know, do whatever.
Right.
But just let them be.
Yeah.
Like, they're doing something stupid. I get it. But 100%. They were just talking.
Yeah. And it wasn't like they've been doing it all game long, where like every stoppage they were going back and forth and being a distraction. It was.
Right.
It was one moment, and you know, it's just, I don't know. I don't love how quickly you throw guys in for 10 minutes like that. Two tough guys that have laid on the line for years and like actually back it up. They're not just chirping to chirp.
That's true. That's a great point.
I mean, to me, it's like, okay, like these guys aren't just there throwing fluff around and actually can back it up and will back it up. So, you know, again, there's just softening of the game my opinion.
Exactly. And like, is the league, like, are they really trying to get it that soft? Because you're going to lose more. I know it's a skilled game these days, and we love it. The speed, the skill. But one of the things we're going to talk about proves you need this in a game. And I'm not talking about the shit talking, but toughness. But those two guys have done it their whole career. They weren't doing anything crazy. They were just talking to each other. You could give them a 10-minute misconduct. It's embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's embarrassing.
It is. And again, going back to the actually tough guys, not just, you know, two skill guys, you know, constantly going back and forth. And, you know, to me, it's like, you know, the skill guys probably feel more safe knowing that they're tough guys or, you know,
how many
barking
guys have
at
said
each other,
that
right? Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
I mean, when we've had them on the show.
Like, stand up and puff your chest out. And that's what it is. It's an emotional game. And you see in certain situations, the emotions rise even more. And that's what you get. So to go throw them in 10 minutes, like, go give them a warning.
Yeah,
sit them down,
enough,
and then if
boys.
You do it again, then maybe even the 2-2, but to tens,
yeah.
Like it's just like okay, it's just too soft in my opinion.
Yeah, 100%.
Which leads us to the next little topic we wanted to talk about was the Jay Beagle fight the other day, and just the storyline behind that. If we want to run down through this, the storyline is Zegras pokes the goalie. Creates a little bit of a swarm. Terry comes over to Jay Beagle.
Yes.
Because Beagles is in there kind of protecting his goalie.
Right.
And turns out to be a fight. And, yep. And Jay Beagle pounds the shit out of is it Chris Terry? Troy Terry. Troy Terry, my bad. And you know, it takes a lot of heat around, you know, the situation itself. It doesn't look good, obviously, when a guy's laying on the ice after a fight. especially in that type of situation. But your thoughts on the overall storyline and how that developed?
Well, I obviously didn't play the game, but being around it and seeing that, like, first of all, you're up 5-0. Probably embarrassed them with the one goal, mm-hmm. which is no one's fault, man. That's the skill of the game these days. Yeah. You can't, if your guy's mad because guy's doing lacrosse, you know, the Michigan all the time. But anyway, it's 5-0. He comes in, he takes a poke at your goalie. Yeah. What do you think's going to happen?
Yeah, exactly.
Like, I mean,
exactly.
You hate this, like you said, you don't want to see a guy get hurt, but in Jay Beagles, he comes in, they start fighting. I would be afraid to let up. If I'm in a fight, you let up for 1 second. You've been punched in the face a bunch. I haven't, but you could get one punched right there if you kind of let up or whatever. But, I mean, I can't really fault Beagle for what he did. I mean, he's just standing there fighting until it was over.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously, it didn't look good. And, you know, you could speak on this, but you get rid of Delore. Does that happen if he's on the team?
Yeah, right. Delore, Manson.
Timo Solani seemed to think that wasn't a very good move, getting rid of him and kind of spoke out on Terry's behalf. But
yeah, having that presence, yeah, the importance of it. But, yeah, you know, in that specific situation, I mean, I don't have a problem with any of it. And the one argument that I've heard is, you know, I don't know how many punches Beagle landed up throwing, maybe 8 or 9 when it's all said and done. You know, the argument would be like, you know, maybe lay off punches 6, 7, 8, 9. But, like, kind of to your point, I mean, I've been in several fights. I've won. I've lost. Once you're in the fight, you're in the fight till it's over. Because how many times have you seen when a guy lets up or, you know, it's kind of towards the end, someone sneaks a punch. So you're never out of it until it's fully over. So right. For you to be in a fight and say someone like, oh, just lay off the guy. Well, that's when usually when you let your guard down, you get tagged. So I think Jay Beagle's mindset, he's in a fight and he's fighting until the fight's over, you know. And yes, did he know he probably tagged him a few times? Yeah, but the guy was still standing up.
He was.
You know, it wasn't like he was banging his head off the ice when he's on the ground. So unfortunate. You know, you never want to see anybody get hurt, right. Obviously. But when you go and engage a guy in that situation, yeah. Expect a fight. He dropped his gloves. He was in a fight.
Right.
You know, it's just unfortunate for him.
Where were the linesmen? We see the linesmen, not to shit on the linesmen, but we see them jumping in before guys are even fighting or grabbing guys with their gloves off and then a guy getting hit. Where are the linesmen there? I don't know if there's another fight going on because we were obviously just focused on that one, but like, you see that guy, that's maybe when linesmen jump in when a guy's getting absolutely shit-kicked,
yeah.
In my opinion. Now, they may have been busy, but I've seen refs jump in too.
Yeah.
And they're not supposed to, but you see a kid getting hit like that, if you're that worried about it, I think someone jump in there. But like you said, it's a fight.
Yeah. And he didn't. And again, he didn't go down. He wasn't getting beat down on the ice.
Right.
Like, you know, as far as the refs and linesmen are concerned, he's still standing there. He's absorbing some guys, right. You know, find ways to defend punches and, you know, and come back in fights.
Right.
So maybe they never thought there was any immediate danger, you know.
Right.
So it's one of those things, you know. You don't really know how bad it is until the guy's laying on the ice after. And then now it's like a hypothetical, like, well, shoulda, woulda, coulda. But to me, I didn't have a problem with it. Again, to suggest laying off him halfway through is a tough one as a fighter because as soon as you let your guard down and think that it's over, I mean, this guy gets his arm loose and then he tags you and then like, and then what? Then you're having a different conversation.
Yeah.
So, you know, I hope that that Terry's doing better and, you know, and recovering well. I know in the interview I saw with Beagle, too, he felt terrible.
Right.
From what I understand, he's a really awesome guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been around the game a long time.
Yeah.
He's taken his beatings too.
Yeah.
Ash back in the day. But that situation, I mean, it's a hockey play.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, guy gets hurt. But just wanted to address that because I feel like there's a lot of, you know, conversation around that. And again, Delorier, I mean, having a guy like that on your team, like, what happens if he's in the lineup?
Yeah.
You know?
I mean,
I don't think it's the same outcome.
Does that even happen?
Does that even happen?
You know.
And then bleeding over to the last little thing we wanted to talk about before we get into our Ask Us Anything questions is Ryan Getzlaff.
Yeah.
Amazing guy, amazing pro, announced his retirement yesterday.
Yeah.
Thoughts on Getze?
I always enjoyed watching him play. Like, he plays the game the right way.
Oh, yeah.
He's a hard-nosed, old-school, skilled, mixes it up when he has to. He's the ultimate captain.
Yeah.
You could tell by the support he had at his thing yesterday. There, he'll be missed. He said that he could feel it in his body. So I guess, you know, that's kind of when you know when you're a guy, because he still kind of produces a little bit. Like, he's still a good hockey player. But he's been so much fun to watch, man. He's one of my favorite players in the league.
Yeah, no, I agree, man. And I had the luxury of watching this guy in junior hockey thrive and you know, move on to the NHL and have an amazing career. Big body, soft hands, does it all, like you said. One of those like last few old school power forwards that are still floating around.
Yeah.
Incredible career. He's won at every level.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wish him the best, man. He's a future Hall of Famer.
Yes.
100%. Amazing leader. So, you know, it's always sad to see when a guy like that, you're watching for so many years, retires. But, I mean, when your physical body, I think he's a year younger than I am. So he's, you know, 38, 39.
17 years he played. Man.
Yeah, it's incredible, right?
It's crazy. 17 seasons.
And props to him. Yeah. Done some amazing things in the game. He's a pro, right? I mean,
yes.
One of these guys that
ultimate
you just like
pro.
See and just, you know, exudes NHL hockey.
Exactly. And yesterday I thought it was so cool on the pigeon side of things, the equipment. He got emotional about his equipment and medical staff, which I thought was like really cool of him to do.
Yeah, an absolute leader, and obviously connected to all his people in Anaheim and in the hockey world. So wish him the best.
Yes.
I'm sure he'll have a highly successful post-career.
Yep.
Sure he'll find himself in the game somewhere.
Yeah, I'm sure.
I think we're ready to rock, Nast.
Let's
episode 69.
Let's do it.
Special episode, Ask Us Anything.
We wrote every question. Kidding.
From
Thanks
your account,
for all
Nast.
The, everyone sending in all the questions, too. We picked out a few, or we'd be here for a day.
Exactly. Yeah, we got 20 questions, and this episode was brought to you by our good friends at Curaleaf, curaleaf.com, Nast.
Yes.
Medical marijuana dispensary. Grab some herbs, some capsules, tinctures, whatever floats your boat. Pain management, anxiety, sleep. Helps you with a little bit of everything. Recovery, regeneration. Check them out. Curaleaf.com. Let's go, Nast.
Let's
ask us anything.
Here we go. 69.
All right, Nast. Starting with Instagram questions. Our good friend, Philadelphia Flyagram.
Okay.
This question's for you.
All right.
What's the coolest piece of memorabilia you've acquired over the years?
I've been fortunate to pick up a lot of cool things. I have quite a few sticks and jersey signed, but I'm going to have to say my Wayne Gretzky stick, game use stick.
Yeah.
I would say probably that.
Old Easton or what was it?
The shiny Easton. Yeah, I think that's probably my favorite thing. I mean, I have some jerseys. You see the Messier and the
nice
Richie
pieces.
Crosby, Sackett, and I've got a bunch down in the cave there. They're all cool, but like standing there and having Wayne Gretzky sign the stick he used and hand it to me
was pretty powerful,
cool.
Right?
Yeah,
the Easton aluminum Wayne Gretzky original, man.
I hold it sometimes and I just want to flex it, but I'm like,
oh, yeah.
It'll probably snap. Yeah.
You can't flex
it. I got
that
when he was playing with the Kings, and Tak was playing with him. So he gave it to me. That's way back in like 96 or 97. So
wow.
No, 95. Sorry, 95. But yeah, I think I would have to say
that. Yeah, that's a nice piece.
Yeah.
And the way Gretter played, I'm not sure if he ever like bent into his sticks and flexed them.
I'm not sure
he did. The way he shot and passed and the way that,
yeah.
He wasn't exactly.
No,
it's
a stiff
stick, right?
Really stiff, yeah.
Interesting. Yeah, amazing piece.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Jay at Toddy02. Percentage that G signs back with the Flyers in the offseason. Thoughts, Nast?
Whoo. I don't think it's a high number. I'm going to say under, or I'll say 10%.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know, but I'm kind of thinking, why would he at this point after the way things kind of went? But who knows? But I don't think it's very likely, and I could be totally wrong, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, I feel you. I mean, if you want to throw a percentage on it, it's going to be low. It's going to be low, 5-10%. I mean, hard to say. It's obviously dependent on how he does in Florida and probably a couple other variables, but I just don't see it personally. So for me, it's a low percentage, very low percentage, Jay. Moving on. Ooh, this one's for you, Nast. At MJ1960USA, a guy named Mark Payne. How is Nasty so cool? What's his secret?
Well, I mean, you know, it's a tough question to answer. Just kidding around. Thanks, Mark, for reaching out. You're the man. Love him. He's an equipment manager.
Oh, okay. So, I thought you submitted that question.
No, I did not. I actually did not. I wish I was cool.
So what is the secret?
I don't know because I'm not cool.
Well, you look cool.
Yeah, well, right
you
now.
You play it off like you're cool.
Yeah, exactly.
You got the secret.
You keep fooling them.
Yeah, you keep fooling them. Smoke and mirrors, Nass. You got the secret. All right, Nass, moving on. Nick Cohn at @_Nick_C_88 on Instagram. A lot of rumors about G going to the Sens. Do you see the passing of Melnick affecting his decision either way? What are your thoughts, Nass?
Well, I think a lot depends on what happens in Florida.
Yeah.
Obviously, he's from Ottawa, the area, and I think with Melnick, he never really wanted to spend, like Baller was saying, to the max. They'll definitely have money, but they're rebuilding.
Yeah.
Does G want to go to another team that's rebuilding? I mean, he's just left a team that, you know, I know they're saying an aggressive rebuild, but
retool.
They're kind of retooling, rebuilding. Here, I think the Flyers are ahead of Ottawa. I could be wrong. I mean, I don't get to watch Ottawa on a nightly basis, but I don't think he signs there. I could be wrong, but I think it depends mostly on what, like, say the Panthers win, maybe he would
because
it's home, you know? But I guess, you know, that'll be determined.
Yeah. Later. You know, the old saying is the home is where the heart is.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just like at that point of his career mentally.
Right.
That he'd rather be close to home and be a part of a rebuild and just be a leader. And again, his wife's from there and his family's all there.
True.
Obviously a huge attractive component for anybody to go to play in and around your hometown. But outside of that, like you said, Nast, if G wins a cup in Florida, I think everything changes. And this seems to be more fitting. And like you said, Melnick, with him passing, opening up more salary for larger contracts, more players and whatnot. So it could be fitting, but it's all dependent on how this thing shakes out in Florida for him.
Yeah.
Moving on, Anthony, @_VARRASSO216. What under-the-radar move do you see the Flyers making this offseason?
Under-the-radar move? I mean, you lost G. If he doesn't come back, I mean, I don't know if it's under the radar, but you've got to get a top-end player.
100%. It's definitely no secret.
I don't know if that's an under-the-radar move. I mean, I guess if you could pull something off that no one thinks you could pull off, I mean, that's under the radar, I guess. But to me, it's like Johnny Gaudreau.
Yeah.
You know, whatever, you know, anything like that. I mean, obviously, you need to add scoring. And not to get off the subject, but we don't know where Ellis stands.
Yeah, exactly.
So, you know, under the radar, I'm not sure if there's really an under the radar move that needs to be made. There needs to be moves made.
Yeah.
But
100%. Yeah. I feel you. Echoing what you're saying there, you have to replace a highly skilled forward. And maybe somehow squeezing in two in a perfect world, right? I think, and to your point on Ellis, we're not sure how durable he's going to be. He was signed as a number one defenseman.
Yeah.
So maybe the under-the-radar move is seeking another one defenseman.
Right.
Which aren't that easy to come by.
No.
But,
people aren't just trying to give those away.
No, absolutely not. So, you know, knowing his history with injuries in this past season, I mean, they have to be thinking about that because you can't go through another season depending on him if he's not going to be able to produce and actually play and be healthy. So we'll see. I think goaltending, they're fine. They're not going to be.
I don't think Jones will be back. I could be wrong. I mean, not Jonesy's been fine.
Yeah,
I don't know what their plans are there. But
that's like not a significant move looking for a number one goaltender
number one
and stuff
goalie.
Like that. Exactly. So, definitely replacing G and some.
Yeah.
You know, they got toughness. I would like to think that they're going to re-sign McEwen. So they got that. But, yeah, definitely a highly skilled forward. And I think definitely having the conversation around a number one defenseman.
Yes.
Moving on, Steve Russo at srusso53. How on earth did you get such an incredible podcast name? It's all you, Nast, right?
I don't think so. Was it Steve? Was it Steve?
It was Steve.
It may have been Steve, my good buddy.
Our extremely genius minds came together and,
yeah, I mean, it's,
and came up with this masterful piece.
Yeah.
Naming.
It just worked.
It did work. Nasty Knuckles. No, yeah. And then here we are.
I'm Nasty.
69
you were Knuckles.
Episodes later.
That's right.
Beautiful thing. Nick Schultz, not the Nick Schultz that played in the orange and black. His long lost cousin at AAZ. What are your thoughts on roller hockey?
Oh, man, the guys are highly skilled.
Oh, my God.
They're like our good buddy ever? Anthony Merrigan, man, and Matty Denton, who we play with, who is known as the GOAT to all the young roller hockey players. These guys are skilled, man, and they can just motor. I actually enjoy watching. I want to play. I skate with my son and go do it, but I haven't played in a league in like 15 years. Not nearly as good as those guys, by the way, but it's so much fun, and those guys are skilled, man.
100% skilled, and I have a new appreciation for roller hockey since watching Anthony Merrigan and some of these videos he posts on his Roller Dad Instagram account. Man, can they move, like, lateral crossovers to the middle of the ice. They almost look more smooth than ice hockey players.
I know. How do you stop? And they stop.
They stop on a dime.
On their wheels. I'm like, how in the – I would break my ankles – right in half trying to stop.
It's incredible. And I played two seasons back in the day when I was 14 and 15 years old, and I never could get into the stopping. It was always like battleship turns. And you know what I mean? Like, just like I was a brutal skater as it was. You know, it wasn't overly pretty on the ice, but or on the floor. But to see these guys, like, they're high level. And the skill, the skill level moving around on rollerblades.
It's fun
incredible.
To watch.
It is. It is. I agree. It's so the answer to your question, highly impressive. I mean, it's definitely fun to watch. At Big Shawnee, Riley, how have you been holding up? You've got to post more on social. What are your main ones you use? So holding up well. Doing really well in my personal life, health, physical health, mental health. Been optimized, feel better than I ever have. I mean, we talk about this all the time. And then I am on social media. I should post more. I probably need to post more. It's always this battle of how much more can I be on these technologies, phone, computer. But Instagram mainly, do some Twitter, LinkedIn, and a little bit of Facebook. But find me on those platforms. Any other thoughts on that, Nest?
No, that's where you are.
That's where I'm at.
Man, that's where you are.
Yeah, sure?
Yeah, 100%.
All right, moving on. Gabe at GABARI33. I want to know if Riley was talking in French to his French teammates back in the day. Never once.
Yeah, never.
Did you catch me speaking French, Nest?
I heard you.
Some franglais?
I remember, I think we talked about this the one time. Maybe it was with Gags, but... I remember Danny B and Gags were in the room talking in French, and you and Randy Jones,
right.
The most common name you could ever have, Randy Jones. I called him Randall, but he spoke French.
Mm-hmm.
No one knew because he played in the queue. He learned it. Your dad's French,
yeah.
So you heard, you know, you. I get. Did he speak in French at home, or your dad?
Well, my father spoke French to my grandparents, parents, and they were extremely French. And I went to a French immersion school, but in the home, we never spoke French.
Right. So it was funny because those two were talking, and I think you answered one of their questions, or Jonesy did, and they both turned around and were like, I'm like, were they saying something bad? Did you guys start laughing? No. They were just talking hockey, but it was funny. But no, I never heard you speak French.
Yeah, I actually remember that moment. And well, obviously, Cote, even though we say it in an English way, it's a French name.
Right.
So I think they, as French guys, they were aware of that. But Randy Jones
but
was
Randy
definitely,
Jones.
Definitely laying in the weeds
Jonesy,
with that one. But I remember that.
So
yeah,
funny.
For sure. Call them out on their shit.
Yeah.
Speak French around us.
I know. You know what's funny, real quick? It's like G and Coots obviously are French. Like, maybe on the bench for a like something real quick to say, they never spoke French, like, they always speak English in the room, you know. Like, and I thought that was funny. I mean, I'm sure, like, maybe they do they're by themselves somewhere. But, you know, they both, well, Coots, well, his name gives away he's French, but he was born, he's a U.S. He was born in the U.S. Right. I always give him shit. Like, yeah. Why aren't you playing for America, USA? But, yeah, they both speak really good English, and they speak, obviously, French as well. But kind of made me laugh, like, because they would always speak English. I just thought that was kind of funny.
Yeah, but I think it was, like, a respect thing, too, right? Yeah. I think we talked about that in the locker room. It's like, it's starting to get clicky if different groups of people are speaking different languages, and then you have, like, you know, all the English guys not understanding what's going on.
Exactly.
You know, it's kind of somewhat disrespectful, but also honoring their language, and you know what I mean? You can't be holding it over them too much, but, like, you know, I think certain situations, to your point, when you're in that team environment, I think you're speaking English because then everyone's kind of, like, understanding what we're actually communicating versus having these little isolated conversations in a different language and no one else is understanding what's going on, but... seen that with different cultures too, you know, the Finns and the Russians and stuff like that. If you find a couple of these guys together on their own, they'll definitely speak their language. But, you know, in the group setting, they're usually speaking English. And moving on here, we got Alec McCloskey. What position do the Flyers need to address most in this year's draft? What would your picks be?
I would always. In any sport, I say take the best available player. That's just me.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know what the Flyers are gunning for. I don't even know where our picks are, but I would take the best player available.
Yeah, and I feel the same way. I think, you know, going into these drafts, generally they have an idea of, you know, a position that they want to go after. But I agree. I think going back to maybe two questions ago of, like, what we need to address with the Flyers anyways is more skill, you know, finding that that franchise goal scorer, if you will.
Right.
And hopefully you're drafting a number one defenseman, you know, one of those two. But whoever's available, I think they're, you know, right now I think their pick is five, however that lines up playing out by the time draft day comes is to be seen. But... whoever is available, right? I mean, whoever the best player is available, I think to jump over a better player to find, you know, especially where they are as in a rebuild, I think you got to go with the best. There's no question. Not overly complicated.
No, I don't think so.
But, I mean, understanding philosophy going into some of these drafts and hearing some of these conversations, they have their eyes set on a certain specific position. But I think right now it's like, man,
I think you just got to take the best player. You
grab the best guy. Moving on, at @USMC_GunnyMcNeil. This is for you, Nast. Who had the weirdest gear setup in Flyers history?
Weirdest gear setup.
Which is kind of a tough question since you are the one setting up the gear.
Mac, they didn't touch their gear. I did. I was the pigeon. Moving it and hanging it and everything. But weird gear, the only thing I could think of instead of saying the weirdest gear was, like, Claude Giroux used to give me the most anxiety because he gets dressed with about a minute and a half, 2 minutes before warm-ups is starting.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that's not really a gear setup, but I couldn't believe it. I've never seen a guy get dressed that quick. And after every period, he gets totally undressed again.
Yeah,
and
I know. I remember. Oh, yeah.
Mike Richards did the same.
Richie did the same thing,
Richie did the same, but G literally gets dressed in a minute. Like, I mean, head to toe. Yeah. He has nothing on.
I know.
So I know, not sure what Mac meant by weirdest gears setup, but I'm going to go with that. G just driving me nuts, like getting dressed late.
And then how about, like, a guy like Jimmy Dowd? You know, he had all his, you know, even though you set up the locker room and you set up the individual stalls, guys would come in and they would kind of reshape junkyard. We talked about it before.
He used to have everything folded up nice and neat. His little, the worst shorts you've ever seen, those Sophie short shorts. Jimmy, put some shorts. Dude, come on, man. Way too much being seen right now with these shorts you're wearing, bro, and the socks, you know.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, you got any more of these shorts? I'm like, I can't find them anywhere. I might have a couple pair next day. He's got six pair. He's just been hoarding them. Oh, yeah, just hoarding them from every team he'd been on. But, yeah, Jimmy was very particular. I didn't even have to touch his stall. The way I hung it when he got there, it was back that way after practice. So he was one of those guys that never even had to look at his locker. So, and he didn't wear a visor, so I didn't have to clean it.
Right, a little OCD there.
Yeah, yeah, big time.
What a beauty.
Yeah.
All right, moving on. Pete Leger at Costco Pete. Would Rick Tocchet be a good fit as the Flyers' next head coach? And should they keep Mike Yeo on as an assistant or some other role in the organization? Thoughts?
I think Rick Tocchet would be a good coach anywhere. That's just my opinion. I think he's a great coach. I thought he did a lot of good things in Arizona with not a great lineup. They just missed the playoffs when he was there, which is saying a lot with the line. I mean, you're not putting anyone down, but you look at their team. As far as Yosi goes, the guys love him, but I believe Baller, we were talking earlier, had said that Dave Scott basically said that they were bringing in a new coach. I know the guys do like Yosi. He's a kind of a player's coach, mm-hmm. And I think they've played hard for him.
Yeah, I agree.
So I'm not sure, I know he's really tight with Chuck, so maybe Chuck doesn't want to do that. Maybe he does. I don't know. But I don't know if Toc's the answer. I don't even know if Toc wants to coach the Flyers, but I think Yosi's done what he could do.
Yeah.
I just don't know if they're going to make a move there. What do you think?
Yeah, it's interesting. Generally, when, if you speculate there's going to be a new head coach, generally the assistant coaches don't come back to become assistant coaches. However, he does have a good relationship with Chuck.
Yeah.
He's respected. To me, I don't know him personally, but he seems to be a great guy and a team player.
Yep.
Maybe he's a guy that, in a unique situation that actually could step back and be okay with that, put his ego aside and let the new head coach come in. Very unlikely. Doesn't happen that often. But is Rick Tocchet a good fit for the Flyers head coach? I mean, I think he's a great fit. I think there's a few other guys that we've talked about in the past that are great fits as well. I mean, the way the Flyers culture has gone these last few years, we talked about this, becoming so corporate and almost losing the essence of, the core culture of the Flyers.
You've lost so many season ticket holders.
I mean, bringing a guy like Rick Tocchet back.
Sooner or later, they got to wake up here. Right. And
could be a nice catalyst to maybe helping bring back the essence of the Flyers, because he's a Flyer.
I mean, I know he played other places, but
I mean, he just exudes Flyers.
Blue collar, hardworking guy. To me, I would love to see Tocchet here. But,
yeah,
you know, and like you said, there are probably some other options that are different. But I remember people saying, "Well, got to get rid of like the Flyer people." Well, we did.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah.
Hasn't been the greatest. And it's not always on the coaches either. And I'm not trying to say that at all.
Yeah.
But Rick Tocchet was here. He knows what Mr. Snyder used to bring and the family atmosphere that there was. I mean, he is a good candidate.
100%. And we've heard the argument before. It's like he's had such an incredible career as a Flyer in Philly. Does he want to come back as a coach? And the shelf life of coaches anyways, you're going to get fired.
Yeah.
I mean, it's inevitable, right?
Right.
You get hired to get fired. So, do you go back and risk your, everything you've created in Philly to be overshadowed by, it could be greatness or it could be a failure. Yeah. You never know, right?
Exactly.
However it turns out. But I guess we'll see. I mean, as Rick Tocchet, as a person, a character guy, a player's coach, obviously tough, old school. He's a mixture of new school, old school.
Yeah.
He's got all the boxes checked, in my opinion.
Yes.
It's just a matter of do you want to go back to a Flyers guy, or go to more of a or John Tortorella type of guy, as we've talked about before, shake things up. And again, shelf life of coaches. What do you got? Like 2-3 years
usually,
maybe
something. Like that.
But the question was: is he a good fit? Absolutely.
Yeah.
Of all the coaches you could pick from, is he the guy? He's definitely top three.
He's got to be.
Definitely top three in my
talks for sure.
For sure. Yeah, exactly. So we'll see. Time will tell.
Yep.
Moving on. Last question from Instagram here. Bruce Rayburn at Rayburn. Any chance on getting Ben Wilson on your show?
Oh, I'd love to get Big Ben.
I would
Ben.
Love to get him
Heard
on.
Some great stories from my dad about Ben. Yeah. He was a scary human.
Yeah.
Scary human being.
Ultra tough. We'll definitely get him on.
Yep.
Maybe we tailor that towards Flyers alumni golf tournament when these guys come into town. Otherwise, it's going to have to be a Zoom call. Obviously, in persons are way better. But we'd love to get Ben on. He's been on our list of guys, and we're going to continue to try and get everyone we've talked about getting. But certainly, Bruce, we're gonna aim to get Ben on.
Yes.
And then moving on to Twitter.
Twitzy.
Johnny Utah.
Give me two.
Give me two.
Utah. Give me two.
Utah.
At
Give me
Johnny
two.
Utah, L.A. This is for Riley. Hardest puncher. Also, what enforcers has he fought that he is closest to this day? So hardest puncher, been tagged by a few. I'm not sure the hardest puncher was George Parros, but he probably dropped me the hardest. Uppercut bomb.
Broke his hand on your head, though. Yeah. Remember?
Oh, that was Matt Karkner, wasn't it?
No, we were in Vegas, and Parros had the... We were at that.
Oh, that's
at the pool, and you were like, what happened to your hand? He goes, huh, actually did that on your head.
Yeah, that's right. I forgot. I was thinking about Matt Karkner. Yeah, Matt Karkner broke his hand on my forehead, too. But, yeah, between, you know, getting tagged on that specific punch, which was a uppercut bomb to the jaw, I got to throw Colt Knorr in there.
Oh,
You know, Brash gave it to me one night pretty good. Not saying that he's the hardest puncher. But, you know, Colton Orr, I would say probably is up there as one of the hardest punchers. Goddard definitely could throw some heat. You know, the list goes on. And pick your poison with those guys.
Fight, man. Yeah,
Steve
so
McIntyre
big,
and Wade Belak and those guys. So, then as far as the closest guys that I became, closest with after I'd fought them, a guy like Cam Jansen, fought him a bunch in the minors a couple times.
He
in
doesn't
NHL.
Like talking. Cam doesn't like talking about it, though.
he don't like talking about it.
Speaking of him, we got to get him
We
got to
get Johnny on. He's a beauty.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, Johnny, even a guy like Brian McGrattan, I created a relationship with him after the fact. Well, Aaron Asham.
Fought
a couple times there in New Jersey, landed playing with him. There's a couple others that we'd mentioned, but those two that come to mind for sure. But you know, peaceful with all of them. You got no beef with any of these guys. Just strictly business, obviously. Yep. You know, all good guys. In the same situation I was in, just trying to earn a paycheck and you know, live their childhood dream and all that good stuff. But all quality guys, character guys.
Yes,
and love them all. So much respect. Thanks for the question, Johnny Utah.
Give me two.
Moving on. Massimo Sciano at MossGoalie1. What was cooler and asked, working the 2010 Olympics or the 2010 Stanley Cup Finals?
Wow. That was my best year in hockey ever. We did the outdoor game.
That's right. Oh, yeah, right.
We did Boston. That was the second one I ever played. Mm-hmm. We did lose. I was 0-3 in all these. The Olympics, I can't even put it into words. It was the coolest thing I've ever done. You know, you get there and you're like, okay, you're in the Olympic Village, but you're not really. You get to the arena and you see the rings and you're just like, oh. Right, and I mean, I'm not playing, but I'm still there, part of it. Coolest thing I've ever done. It was just the coolest thing I've ever done. But being in the Stanley Cup Finals was just, I mean, almost as good, but I would have to say the Olympics was a little better. If we would have won the Stanley Cup,
I would
say Stanley Cup was better, but we obviously lost both, lost the gold medal game. Sydney, what did you guys call it? The golden goal or whatever? Thanks a lot, Sid. the Olympics was unbelievable. And being in the finals was the coolest thing. And you want to get back there, you know, like so bad. But thanks for the question. I would say the Olympics probably.
Yeah, it's got to be an amazing experience and opportunity, but it's awesome. A little different environment, you know, obviously going to the Olympics than versus like the whole season, 82 games, you know, in Philly and playing away games.
I mean, it's hard to say one's better.
Yeah, for sure.
Hate even saying that, but it just...
But the Olympics are the Olympics. And
once in a lifetime thing, probably. Right. Probably we'll never get to do that again. So it was just, it was the coolest thing.
Right on. Next up, we have Giant, quote-unquote, Apples Mastrangelo at Grapples96. Would love to hear who you think will wear the C next year?
I think it's going to be Sean Couturier.
Agreed. Agreed.
That's my feeling. Yeah. I don't know that, but that's my guess.
I feel the same way. I think you could throw maybe three names in the pot. Coots, Lotz, and probably Proby. You know, I love Lotz. I would love to see Lotz, honestly. Right. I just don't think it's going to be Lotz. I think it's going to be Coots.
Yeah.
I agree with that. All right. Jeff McKay at Jeff McKay 10. Who's the top 10 toughest Riley has dropped the gloves with? Well, it's hard to say because there's so many tough guys. Yeah. Nasty, you've seen them. You've seen a lot of these guys come through the minor leagues and into the NHL. But, I mean, I got to go with, you know, the absolute toughest guys that have roamed around the league, at least at that time, for some time. George Larocque.
Yes.
Donald Brashear. Brian McGrattan. Throw Eric Goddard in there. Yeah. Colton Orr. That's five, but you can certainly tack on, you know, Wade Bielak. Jeez, I'm drawing a blank. There's so many guys, man. Jody Shelley.
Yeah, geez, Jody Shelley.
But I think those, like, higher-end, super heavyweight guys, like I mentioned, the George Larocques, the Don Brashear, those are tough guys to beat, let alone fight. And then, you know, Brian McGrattan landed up working himself up there as one of the toughest, too, that... You know, I had a fight with him back in the minor leagues to see him go up to be, you know, ultra heavyweight guy too. But yeah, there's so many guys that I missed there that I didn't mention, even guys that beat me up, like, you know, George Parros, you know, that we mentioned earlier. You know, there's definitely a long list of extremely tough guys there. So not downplaying any of these other guys, but those guys definitely come to mind.
Yes.
And then last question here, a YouTube question from Thris Kudor. Has Riley talked to Andre Roy after the infamous fight, and would you invite him onto the podcast?
If he doesn't snap, yeah, because I would be in the middle here.
No.
Man, he was obviously pissed off you beat him, like you caught him, but I think what really pissed him off was the scoreboard.
The Jumbotron.
They showed that 50 times.
100%.
And I think that's what got him.
I agree.
Really wound up, which, I mean... It was a great knockout, and you're in Philadelphia. Like, they did keep
for sure
the whole game, and that's when he started losing his mind.
Yeah, he definitely put him over the edge, no question. And it was in the third period too,
right?
So and there was a TV timeout, I believe, and they just kept playing
and showing it.
And you could see him over there, and he's like, "Wants to be."
I think Baller
cut the throat.
Yeah, he's doing that. Like, Baller posted it, I think, and he was losing. I mean, I remember just staring at him, watching him, and I'm like, "This guy's gonna do." Something dumb.
Dumb.
Torts is
choked him out.
I'm like, Torts, behind. You might want to not do that.
Yeah, I know, right?
But you know what I mean?
I think that was after he actually hopped on the ice and thought he was like coming out for a shift, and he was like, came over to the bench and was like talking to me. And
that's
then I think he sat back down, and then Torts landed up choking him down, sitting him down. And that was actually the last game he played for the Lightning.
It?
Yeah,
I didn't know that.
They actually sent him home from that trip.
Oh.
And then never played a game the rest of that season because it was towards the end of the season.
Right.
And then he ended up signing with Calgary in the offseason. But so to answer your question, I have not talked to him, no. I have never seen him. I think he's up in Canada doing TV and radio with RDS. Would we invite him onto a podcast? Absolutely. I got no beef. I
100%, mean, it was,
that was just business. Again, between, you know, I fought him twice that game. I don't think he was overly thrilled with having that second fight and then throwing it on the Jumbotron 20 times in a row in Philly. put him over the edge. So it's just business. But, you know, again, this guy was a tough guy.
Yes.
Years in the NHL before that, won a Stanley Cup, fought every tough guy. I got lucky. Right, I mean, he landed a lucky punch. Put him down.
It goes back to like letting up. And I mean, you know, you got him with that one punch, man. Yeah. Like,
so I mean, does that highlight my career? I mean, no. I mean, it's just one good fight.
Yeah.
And you know, I don't want to take any away from Andre because he's a tough dude. If you fought
Very
that guy
tough,
20
man.
Times, that would have happened that one time probably.
Right.
You know what I mean? I got lucky. So much respect to Andre Roy. I mean, he's a warrior, man. He fought all the toughest guys, and not just fight them, did well against them.
Yeah.
Legit heavyweight. So respect, props to Andre Roy for everything he's doing now and the way he played the game. Got a Stanley Cup and T-Bay too there.
Yeah,
so
that's right.
Nothing but respect and love, and that's a wrap for Ask Us Anything questions.
Yeah, man.
Ask,
what are you feeling? Sorry, the ones we missed. There were so many, but thank you guys for sending them. That was awesome.
Absolutely, yeah, man. Some really good questions. I think we got to do this again.
I think Mark Payne's was my favorite.
Mark Payne, you're a pretty cool cat.
Not a big deal.
Yeah. Right on. Well, that's a wrap.
That's a wrap, bro.
Episode 69. Ask Us Anything. A little special episode, a little change up, curveball. We'll be back at it with the guests next week. To be determined.
Yes.
Got a couple lined up.
Yep.
Trying to figure out the schedule here of recording. So stay tuned. Check us out next week for episode 70, Nas.
Yes, 70. Jeez.
Incredible, actually. It hard is. To believe.
We Until should have then, a party.
We should. Why not?
Debo's
you,
having
you can throw your mink coat on.
I will do that. I will do that.
Yellow shades.
Friday. There you go, Friday.
Let's do it.
All right.
All right. Until then, stay safe, knuckleheads.
See you, knuckleheads.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much. But when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. Invesco QQQ is proud to sponsor this episode and even prouder to provide access to innovation for the last 25 years. Basketball has had innovations over the years, too. We're seeing the game played in new ways every day. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.